Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The president of Mexico, AMLO, affectionately known López Obrador, is popular. A one-term presidency. That's in the Constitution. Elected in 18, leaving office in 24. And yet, AMLO, with his popularity and what is arguable a success in a world of pandemic and disorder, AMLO has chosen to more and more lean toward the military control of infrastructure, of institutions, and now the National Guard, created by AMLO several years ago, part of the Hugs Not Bullets campaign early in his administration. Mary Anastasia O'Grady, writing of these matters at the Wall Street Journal, she's the editor and columnist for The Americas. Mary, a very good evening to you. He's popular. So what is the need to put the National Guard he created under the control of the military? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. I think that a lot of Mexicans are asking the same question. Mexico has a civilian government, and yet this president has not just put the National Guard under the command of the military, and I'll get to that in a minute. But since he's come into office in December of 2018 for a six-year term, he has given the military a much bigger role in the economy. He put them in charge of rebuilding the new Mexico City airport, which he moved from Texcoco to a place called Santa Lucia, which is where there's a military base. He's also put them in charge of building a train that he wanted to go around the Yucatan Peninsula. He's given them expanded role in customs, and he's given them an expanded role in air traffic control. So the military has a much larger role in a civilian in this civilian government than it's ever had before. That's troubling. Now, in 2019, he created a National Guard, and he said, we need a National Guard because we have this problem with cartels and drugs and organized crime and so forth. And, you know, of course, we have a National Guard in this country, but in this country, the National Guard reports to the governor, not to the president. And in AMLO's case, he put the National Guard under the command of the military. And that was supposed to be 4 or 5 years. And what he's just trying to do now is extend that so that they would remain under the control of the military until March of 2028. And so that would be effectively 10 years. And there's a lot of reasons why you don't want the military. Of course, in this country, you're not allowed to use the military against the for domestic law enforcement. There's a lot of reasons why you don't want that happening. But one potential concern on the part of people is that if the military has a larger and larger foothold over the economy and law enforcement, and they report to the president, the president is, in effect, militarizing the civilian government. And, of course, there are military dictatorships in the world, but Mexico does not want to be one of them.
I note, Mary, that the Secretary of State traveled to Mexico. You lead your column with that. Some days passed to consult with AMLO. Is the Biden administration freshly concerned about this militarization of institutions, or was that about the immigration crisis?
Well, it was the Secretary Blinken went to Mexico for a variety of reasons, as our top diplomat would be inclined to do, right? I mean, Mexico is our neighbor, important country. And so, of course, he would have to make a visit there. And I don't even really fault him for not saying anything about this particular problem, because it's very important for the U.S. to be diplomatic with Mexico. You know, there's a long history there of, you know, the more powerful the United States imposing, trying to impose its will in Mexico and so forth. However, you know, one thing that the State Department is known for all around the world is defending civil liberties, modern liberal democracy and so forth. So my comment about his visit was that he, of course, didn't say anything. You know, he spoke very diplomatically about Mexico. But behind the scenes, there are real problems there. One of them is this militarization of the government. Another is that, and you ask why AMLO would want to, you know, pump up the power of the military. And one problem is that he doesn't like power sharing and the independence of institutions very much. So, you know, he has basically tried to shred contracts that he had with companies in the energy sector. The U.S. is actually probably going to take Mexico to an arbitration panel. Right now, it's in a period of consultation regarding the way they're treating investors in the energy sector. But he's also very hostile toward the Independent Electoral Council, which, of course, would be the body in Mexico that runs the 2024 election. And he also seems to want to get control of that. And that's very troubling if you want to protect, like I said, the independence of institutions and the democracy in Mexico, and you have a president who's basically consolidating power and getting rid of their independence.
And this is a surprise. The Institutional Revolutionary Party, at least in one instance, has voted with the president on these considerations. But heretofore, it's been the opposition. What's changed, Mary?
Well, that's very troubling. I'm glad you brought it up. The, you know, in his attempt to put the National Guard under the military for another 5 years, he realized that the law he passed was probably going to be challenged in Congress and probably, challenged in the Supreme Court and probably struck down. So he's trying to do a constitutional amendment that would allow him to do it. And there was a vote in the lower house, and the PRI voted with him, which is quite alarming because, as I mentioned in my column, the PRI had been in the opposition until now. One problem is the leader of the PRI apparently has some skeletons in the closet that the attorney general says he's going to investigate. So there's some question about whether he might have been pressured to do that. But other members of the PRI who I consider honest say that the National Guard is the only hope of the country to fight the drug cartels. And it's not strong enough to stand on its own. It has to remain under military control. I challenge that because I think that, you know, it wouldn't be so hard to say to the National Guard that they have to basically face civilian courts of justice and they have to face auditing, because there's real potential for corruption there. And if he gets away with this idea of putting them under the military, they'll be able to, you know, avoid any accountability in those matters.
The president was disappointed in the midterms, as I recall. He wanted to win majority or unbelievable control of the legislature. Mary, the short version of this question is the AMLO thinking of extending his term in office? Are these maneuvers aiming in that direction? We have about a minute.
You know, there's quite a bit of debate about that, and I can't say that I know in one way or the other, but I do know that if he decides to step aside, as he is required to by law, it wouldn't be that difficult for him to have another person representing the Moreno government, like the current mayor of Mexico City. And if she were to win the election, I think he would end up being kind of the power behind the throne. Not clear whether she would win. And that's why I think that defending the independence of the Electoral Council is so important.
So what we have here is unknown so far, but moving in a direction that is worrisome. Mary Anastasio.
He likes power.
Yeah, thank you, Mary. That's the short version of my question. Mary Anastasio Grady, America's editor and columnist for the Wall Street Journal editorial board. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.